When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Time to use the crown topic of the day. Way back at 10 a.m., we started the show talking about the red-hot New York Mets. Best team in baseball since June 7th. Won again last night, inching closer and closer to the Braves. About to overtake them for the top wildcard spot in the National League. And BT, to me, it's no more about can they be a postseason team? Could they be a wild card team? No. Now it is about, with the deadline here on Tuesday, just days away, going all in. There is no reason, just like in 2015. Mets weren't built to win the World Series that year, even after they got Cespedes. Did many people think they were going to go to the World Series? Who knows? But they did. So anything can happen, especially in today's landscape of baseball where other, you know, extra teams get in the postseason, the playoff format. You never know. I don't care if the Phillies won 125 games. They could still get knocked off in the first round. The Mets have to go all in at the trade deadline and invest in this team that has shown something special this year.
Yeah, I'm a big believer, Sal. You earn what you get what you earn here. And we were just talking about the Yankees before the previous in the previous segment, pardon me. And the Yankees have earned all of the shrapnel coming their way lately. Conversely, the Mets have earned the right to fortify this thing, make a push, and see where this thing can take you. There's irresponsible additions. You know, Isaiah Thomas would do that all the time. You just kind of desperation, I'll fling this here. Maybe I can get out of this malaise here. No, the Mets are at a point now where they can fortify the now without compromising tomorrow. And they can take a swing for this thing. And, you know, in baseball, you know, I know in all sport is generally unpredictable, but for the most part, the NBA, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, not that wild cards don't win Super Bowls, Eli did it, but, you know, it's usually a team, 13, 14 wins, home field advantage throughout. They usually win or have a better chance to win. Baseball is different. I mean, baseball is so different. Guys clicking. There's chemistry. There's unity. There's length more. But by the way, let me say this. As much, I think there's like code for certain things, and you hear a lot with the Mets. At least I think this needs to change, and it's starting to, but I think we need to fully change it. Maybe I'll lead this movement in favor of the Mets. You still hear a lot of, even though it applies, chemistry, togetherness, unity. That's kind of burying the lead. The Mets are just playing great.
Right.
You know, and I almost think like when you search for those adjectives to describe why they're doing what they're doing, like why they look this way, it's a cute little way of almost, the little engine that could. Now the Mets lineup is really good, and the Mets have a good team, and they got a chance to do something.
Right, but those things, the chemistry things.
I'm not saying they're not real.
Right, well, it's not that it's not real. It's that it can be the difference in putting a team over the top. The Mets are not, factually, the most talented team in the league by a long shot. Mm-hmm. Like, there are far more superior teams as far as talent goes than the Mets.
Yep.
However, they're good. It's not like they have no talent. Their lineup is very good. But the chemistry is what's put them over the top. They're having more. Who in baseball is having more fun than the Mets? I mean, think about it. The OMG stuff, having concerts on the field.
They're rolling, man.
It's great. The grimace nonsense, whatever it may be. Like, the Mets are having fun. They're not the most talented group. We've talked about it endless times. Who's their star? Mm-hmm. Like, I know Lindor has now played like a superstar, but who are the Mets' best players? Think about it. And they're playing, though, like the best team in baseball since June 7th. So it's nice to see Lindor finally play. By the way, the number since he's moved into the leadoff spot, not even Cleveland saw that Francisco Lindor. So not only have the Mets not seen this version of Francisco Lindor, Cleveland never saw this type of Francisco Lindor from what he's done since moving in a leadoff spot to now. That's how ridiculous he's been playing here. But it's not like the Mets have the most talent, PT. That extra stuff, that chemistry, that fun, something special brewing with this club, and has been for a while.
If I asked you, Sal, what do you think the Mets rank right now in home runs? All the baseball, not just the NL. Give me a ballpark number.
10.
I know I'm putting you on the spot. 5th.
Wow. Okay.
Where do you think they rank in OPS? Ballpark number.
Seventh?
They are seventh.
Okay.
So
I was going to say top 10 for bold, so obviously.
Well, and they are. So now, and I know that the pitching obviously is, they've got to correct some things here. I don't know if this will make my point or weaken it. I'm just going to quality starts out of curiosity. I want to see where they are. Yeah, they're 22nd there, and obviously you need to address things on the staff here, but specifically the bullpen, and hopefully Senga comes back and deals. There's no doubt they're going to do that, but to me,
I mean, if the Mets don't, you talk about the Yankees. If the Yankees don't go all in at the deadline, you're gonna lose. If the Mets don't get two like dominant bullpen arms, I am going to flip out now. Like I'm expecting. It hasn't even crossed my mind that they won't.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, they will be hell to pay come Wednesday morning.
I like it. I like
it. I mean, come on. At the bare minimum, they might be hell to pay anyway.
Yeah.
But bare minimum, they better get two of, if not one of the best relievers and then another legitimate arm. They need two legit major league relievers. Anyway, I'm
but
sorry.
But that's all good. But think about those offensive stats. Fifth in home run, seventh in OPS. I say that not to just inundate you with numbers, but it does show that they are more than I think the average fan, whether it's maybe the Yankee, not that you need this, maybe the Yankee fan is not fully buying in, or maybe the fan in St. Louis or Milwaukee or in Chicago or across the country in San Francisco saying, ah, the Mets, who do the Mets really have? Well, they have enough guys where they're beginning to justify the thump statistically that they're putting out there from an offensive perspective every night. Top five, I mean, top seven in both of those categories, that's pretty good.
And it's because it's deep. It's not top heavy.
I agree with that.
Which means that when Pete, and by the way, that's with Pete Alonso basically doing nothing all year long.
And McNeil doing nothing until the last two weeks.
But okay, so now let's say Nimmo and J.D. Martinez have cooled off. Jeff McNeil has gotten hot.
Yep.
Obviously, Lindor's been the mainstay. And then when maybe McNeil comes down to earth, maybe Alonso will
Alvarez,
get hot.
You know, Alvarez go back on the tear.
He's been cold.
Yeah.
Lindor's been consistent since the leadoff spot. Vientos has been consistent all year long. Mm-hmm. And you need a couple of constants in there. But let's say that, Alvarez gets hot. Lindor will cool off at some point. Alonso gets hot. Somebody else will cool off. Or Nimmo will pick it back. When you have a full lineup like that, that's what happens. That's how you get Iglesias picks it up a little bit and somebody else goes. Like that's why they're a good offense is because they have great depth in their lineup with many parts who could do it on any given night.
And they've made some shrewd moves. I mean, we talk a lot about, when you don't perform, they just get rid of you. Wendell, others. Yeah.
Tompkin. Yeah, they could use him and Mike him right now. But you know what? He wasn't getting the job done. See ya. Bye-bye. Joey Wendell, they need some help on the bench. Veteran bet. You're not getting it done. Bye-bye. Accountability. You don't get the job done here. You're gone. That's it. It's refreshing. And there's no reason now. And I was guilty of it, of course, early on. And there was a point in the season where I said, okay, I believe in what this team is. But even with that, it wasn't like I believe that they could do some damage. Now I really do believe. Like, they're on the verge of overtaking the Braves for the top wild card spot. That wasn't something that many people thought was realistic a few weeks ago. They're on the verge of that. I'm not putting a limit on them. I do believe that the 2024 Mets could go to and win a World Series if they make the right moves and things go their way.
This right here, and it's happening in front of my own eyes here, is something that I've always said. This, to me, Sal, your reaction, the Mets situation encompassing everything, is truly an encapsulation of what I've always said from a fan's perspective. The best seasons are the unexpected ones.
Yes, the ones with no expectation.
Look at the fire in my partner's eyes.
I know.
The glimmer of hope.
It's out of nowhere. I love these seasons. My favorite season for the Mets, like 99, I know there was some expectation, but I like that better even than 2000, where the expectations were raised, and they went further in the World Series, obviously, but 99 was kind of like the first season that did it.
Now, why do you think that is,
though? I don't know. Think about the Yankees, 2017. Out of nowhere, that was a great season.
Yeah.
Meaning why, what, why?
But meaning why, because I don't think that we're alone in that. I think the unexpectedly really, even if it's not a championship season, but the unexpectedly really good season is, as I've always said, to me, the most rewarding experience for a fan, and I'm going to bring the Knicks back into it. Last year, Knicks' run was awesome. Mm-hmm. The place was on fire. It didn't go where we wanted it to go. They just physically were spent. Everybody was hurt, whatever. Then you get Bridges. Now, the analysis of the Knicks takes on a different heaviness. Now, if they lose a game, not that you get on the air and break down NBA games in the year 2024, 2025, moving forward, it's not the 90s, I get it. But like, if they lose a team, a bad game to the Pistons or the Raptors or the Hornets, I'm just thinking of bad teams next year, like, it's not going to be ignored. You're going to attack because now Well, most people think the Knicks are on the short list to win a championship. So this year, I don't want to say it was pressure-free, because in New York, it's very rarely completely pressure-free. But now the burden of expectations seep into it. And this year, the Mets had no expectations.
Correct. Purposely, they lowered the expectations. Whereas last year, coming off a 101-win season and disappointing in the playoffs, obviously blowing the division as well to Atlanta, the expectations were still high last year. And they obviously under-delivered to a severe extent, one of the worst seasons in their history. I always judge things relative to expectation. By the way, the expectations have now changed in season. Although, as long as the Mets go forward at the trade deadline, like if they fall short and don't get the top wild card spot or do get eliminated in the first round, I don't think you can go nuts.
You can't. That would be unfair.
Correct. But as with the Yankees, like anything that they do that is short of the World Series now, it's going to be a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that it is. The expectations, the result versus those expectations, are how we judge sports. That's why 2017 for the Yankees was a very enjoyable year, even though they didn't get to a World Series. Came out of nowhere. There were no expectations. Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it fun. And the Mets purposely did that. They purposely lowered the expectations.
But then they heightened them a little earlier.
Well, they said that? Playoffs. No, they were saying, but they kept saying playoffs.
They kind of straddled that fence of being non-committal completely either way.
I got to be honest.
Which was smart.
We've said this. Well, I mean, I thought the Mets were dead wrong. We mocked them.
Yeah.
They were exactly right about their team. They nailed it. They had a good offseason, solid offseason, and that I felt at the time. They lowered the expectations. Then they started talking playoffs. I was like, oh, come on. And then they have now lived up to those expectations. Forget about how we got here. We're here. They lowered expectations, said playoff team. That's exactly what's happening, maybe even more so than they thought. And now they have a chance to take it to another level. Again, nobody's saying get reckless here, but you don't know what the future holds.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance right now. You're playing well.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen next year, whether it's free agency, whether it's injuries. Look at the Braves. And maybe they missed their chance. Maybe the Braves' window was closed.
I got a better example for you. A million years ago, think about the year the Mets won 82 games in 1973, right? That's okay. When they lost to the A's. But it's part of their history, and there's not a lot of World Series appearances. So they beat the Reds at that. Right. That's when Pete Rose and Buddy Harrelson had the fight, okay? And they lost to the A's, Joe Rudy, was Reggie hurt? Joe Rudy, certainly, okay. those great A's teams. Anyway, the Mets only won 82 games that year, and they thought that they were on their way because of the pitching, et cetera.
Right. And the year after is going to be.
And then after that year, from 74, I don't know what their exact record was in 74, but that window of Mets baseball was as dark and as depressing and as hopeless as any extended era in Mets history. So to your point, you never know when you're getting back. You don't overstate what you have. When you have a chance to go for it, as long as you're still sensible, you got to go for it.
Yeah, and this is not saying, we're going to get to calls here in a second. This is not saying, oh, well, this is the beginning of the sustained run. Who the hell knows? Like this year with Iglesias and with Severino and with J.D. Martin.
I don't think it is the beginning of, not with this crew.
Me neither. I'm looking at this. I'm not talking about the future. That'll be a day we can discuss that in November.
Yep.
I'm looking at this season.
As you should.
Right now.
Good.
We're in the midst of a run right here. Get this team to where they need to be a legitimate playoff contender. Go for it. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you?
And hey, bud. I'm doing great. I'm doing great right now. Every Met fan should be doing great right now. And like what you guys just said right now, that's all that matters is the here and now. The future is the future. The offseason, we'll worry about that when we get there. But I'm ecstatic, guys. And I do. Before you hang up on me, I want to ask you guys, because I need your opinion on something. But I got a couple of things I want to say before I ask you that. The reason why I was frustrated as a fan beginning of the season is because this is what you expected, right? So when people are trying to kill BT right now, I understand where BT was coming from. Now, I wasn't out there talking about Francisco Lindor should give up batting left-handed and he's done or stuff like that. And I was even surprised to hear you say that, BT. You know, as someone who's played the game, like, I would think you would understand more that he's just not going to abandon batting left-handed. You don't get to be Francisco Lindor by just giving up batting left-handed. It was just a matter of figuring it out, right? So when I got on him, it was about this. I thought this team could be better. I told you guys when I called, I argued with Sal. I felt like this team was motivated. It didn't start out too well, but they had the talent to be here. And I feel like if we were here, the front office would do what it had to do. But I said a lot. Let me ask you guys your opinion on this, right? Because we saw Sunday, the other night, whatever the heck it was, the ESPN game. Francisco Lindor's family sitting real close or whatever. And that was a great thing, guys.
What is the question? Jeez, Hector, get to it.
I'm not putting that down. But to me, I asked, listen, if it wasn't Francisco Lindor, if the team wasn't performing the way it has, if he wasn't performing the way he did even that night, let's say they lost and he left a whole bunch of guys on base, would the reaction be the same? And people got bent out of shape because I asked that question saying that I'm hating on Francisco Lindor. And I'm like, no, I would have asked no matter who
Hector,
it was.
Hector, what is your question?
Exactly that. Like, is that something that you really want to see? Like, a player interacting with his family during the game.
Yeah, who cares? What do you have an issue with that for? Okay. It was a nice moment.
I know, and I might say the moment wasn't nice. I just wonder if it was somebody that wasn't as popular as Francisco Lindor on the team. Maybe, like, if it was Jeff McNeil, whom you hate, whom you want off the team, would you say who cares?
Well, first of all, I don't hate him. I don't know him personally.
Come on, Sam. Let's not get...
Yeah, well, you said I get it. You and I could talk about that, but people are like, oh, he does hate Lindor, McNeil. No, I don't.
No, okay, I got you. I don't like him as a player.
Yes, you're accurate with that. Anyway.
Right, so would you have the same reaction, though, if I was interacting with his family?
I don't think he would have had, and thank you for the call, Hector, I don't think Lindor would have had the interactions with his family like that front and center if he didn't hit the home run. Like, if he strikes out and goes 0-for-4, you think he's going to be giving high fives to his daughter? I don't think so. I don't care what goes on in their personal lives. I don't care. Yeah, if McNeil had his family there and he hit a home run, he was giving them high fives, what do I care about that? That's nice. Good for them. I care about what they do on the field. Well, what's the difference? I'm missing the point. Why is that a big deal?
I didn't get that either.
You saw what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, no, I did. There. I did. I saw Happy Jeff. We like Happy Jeff.
Well, and Lindor had his family there at Yankee Stadium the other night. Uh-huh. And he was So what if he went 0-for-4? What? His family goes to a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. You interact with your daughter? What the heck? What are we doing?
Especially after hitting a home run. But point is, the cameras wouldn't have shown him walking back, interacting with his family, had he struck out and left guys on base. I think you're making a big deal out of nothing, Hector, with that. What's the issue there?
Even I don't get there with Lindor.
Yeah,
Come on.
What? Right. Come on. What do you want the guy to do? Not have his family there? I wasn't understanding his point. I'm still not sure I get it. Hmm. Other than what? If he performed poorly in front of his family, that would be a bigger deal.
What's that, Hoffy?
Hector said he called in. He's like, I want to defend BT. That's what he legitimately said.
And then he talked about five different things. Yeah, well, I don't mean either. Hector, get to the point, will you? I love you, but what the hell? What? I don't understand.
He's your buddy.
It. Yeah. And he wanted to defend you of all things.
I like Keck, but I don't know what that was about. I don't know.
BT and Sal on the fanboy, your calls on the other side. I got to talk to him. He's off the air.
He's banned for at least 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah,
don't do that.
He's got to lose a week of privileges.
Him on the WFAN Daily podcast that I do. I've been telling him I'm going to do that. I got to talk to him about that. We'll maybe get an explanation.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It is a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Toronto at Yankee Stadium on Saturday, August 3rd. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. So from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, box office blitz, and the fan. I got a couple of moves here for you, BT, and it's not great news really for the Mets.
Okay.
This is Anthony DeComo just giving over some transactions here that have happened. So remember Shintaro Fujinami that the Mets signed in the offseason?
Yep.
Okay, they signed him to a $3.35 million deal. Due to an injury, major control, he never wound up pitching for the team as they DFA him. This is from DeComo's Twitter right now. So I know he had control issues, which was a thing even before they signed him. But then the injury, just over three. For a bullpen arm, $3.5 million is not, you know.
What was the length of the deal?
I think it was just this year.
Okay.
But still. Anyway.
That's lint in Cohen's pocket.
Okay. Fujinami, not going to be a part of it.
All right.
They also have DFA'd Adrian Houser.
Okay.
Now, I liked Houser as a long man out of the bullpen, just an innings eater. But clearly you could do better. That was a part of one of the trades the Mets made, have him be a depth piece in their rotation, getting him from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So he is DFA'd now.
Okay.
Stern's starting to clean up the mess a little bit.
All right.
Here's the bad news. Senga obviously is active and is going to start tonight. Bad news. Daniel Nunez on the IL with a right pronator strain. What the hell is a pronator?
Pronator. So pronate supinate is the
what?
Pronator strain? I could be totally off on this. I feel like it will be somewhere around the forearm.
Have you ever heard of this? A pronator?
Well, pronate and supinate is just basically turning the hands, like the movement of the hands one way or the other. What? Based on the kind of pitch, whatever.
Well, no, I'm serious, though.
What's it called? What's the injury? I'm going to guess forearmers, but pronator, what's the exact terminology?
Pronator. Right pronator strain.
It's got to be.
I'm looking this up
now. It's got to be somewhere in the forearm.
Flexor pronator strains are acute or chronic muscle strains of the flexor pronator mass. Yeah, what the hell is that, though?
What is a pronator strain?
What is a pronator? I've never heard this in my life before.
I've just heard pronate and supinate. I've never actually heard pronator as if it like was a noun. It's more like a verb. Either way, I'm getting geeky weed rabbit hole
flexor
here with pitching.
Pronator mass provides dynamic support to the medial elbow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I would think that the fibers attached to the ligaments in the elbow. It's a muscle.
In the elbow, which is not good.
No, it's not. That's why I was saying forearm.
Right.
Because just remember, like, again, so when you pronate.
What can you just say with an elbow issue? Pronator strain? Is it his elbow? Is it his knee? What the hell's a pronator? Yeah, really?
What is it?
I mean, either way, it's a problem for the Mets because Daniel Nunez has been one of their best relievers.
He's been pretty good. Yeah.
So even in the short term, now I know they're going to upgrade to the bullpen, and I do wonder how that's going to impact them at the deadline. Like, it almost seems now. Two arms might not be enough, although Hauser could be replaced eventually by, let's say, Tylor Megill. Like, they have enough starters to go into a six-man rotation. They're in a six-man rotation right now. So conceivably, you could move one of those guys to be a long man out of the bullpen. They need two high-leverage arms. They needed that anyway. And Daniel Nunez was one of them, and now he's on the IL. I just have no idea how serious that is, though, a pronator strain.
Doesn't sound good. Honestly, it doesn't sound. What is he on? Is he on the IL for 10, 15?
15. It doesn't say that.
Doesn't say it.
Okay, just because he's on the IL due to a pronator strain.
Got it. You just hit us with three things there. The other two I wouldn't worry about, like the Hauser stuff. Like, to me, at this point, any decision the Mets are making, not that it's guaranteed to be a good one, but they've earned the right to trust them a little bit here as they house clean the roster. So, all right, get rid of this guy. This guy's DFA'd. Whatever. Now, it sounds like a lot because you hit us with three things there. The Nunez thing does matter. That absolutely matters. But Hauser and, how do you say the other guy's name? Do you still have it in front of you?
Fujinami?
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm just reading about it. Well, Fujinami, I'm just reading now. This is going back to yesterday. This was Andy Martino from yesterday. As the Mets look for bullpen help at the deadline, Fujinami's rehab clock expires this week. He walked four yesterday, but overall the Mets are happy with how he's throwing. Most likely will be optioned at first, but the team considers him a potential contributor before too long. And now today they just DFA him, so Martino followed up saying a bit of a surprise. Earlier this week, the expectation was that they'd option him, but his rehab clock expired and they designated him instead. So, interesting. I mean, you know, Mets need bullpen help to begin with. He was one guy who, all right, maybe take a flyer on, see what happens. He's not there. Hauser down, insignificant. Okay. But the news of Daniel Nunez, not very good. The Mets need bullpen help. Simple as that. Desperately now.
They do. And that's where Senga, at least if he comes back and he's good, not that he's going to give you a ton of length because he does.
Can he go six innings?
Well, maybe not tonight he won't, but I mean, when he starts to get a couple of starts under his belt.
Was he need a couple more months to rehab before he can pitch six innings? I mean, what is this?
Yeah, they'll proceed with caution, as they should. I hear you, but they're not going to go nuts tonight.
I'm fine with the pitches. Like, if you want to say no more than 100 pitches, okay, but the innings, that bothers me.
Yeah, but it's never really an innings limit.
If he's at 80 pitches through five innings, he better be out there for a sixth.
I think it's more innings limits for young players as they incrementally build up. I don't think it's so much innings for somebody like Gerrit Cole coming back or obviously Kodai Senga, where it's more a number that they circle. I would say probably tonight about 75, which I know you won't love that either. But
I think more than, at least they intimated that it'd be more than that, but who the hell knows? We'll see what happens. BT and Sal on the Fan. Nick is in Wharton. What's up, Nick?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Hey, what's up, Nick? What's happening?
Not much. Yo, BT, I hope you don't make any plans to go down the shore the rest of the month and next month, because if you're on that stand, my man, you better be ready for those clouds, because that storm's coming in, baby. Storm Hunter's coming back. I'm telling you, man, we're hot. I'm positive. I was talking to Hoff on the break, and I'm telling you, man, I think this is our year. We just got to tighten up that bullpen. We got to stay focused. We got to keep the defense strong. And we definitely need bullpen help. And you know what, Sal? I got to tell you, how are you feeling, baby?
I'm feeling great. What are you kidding me, Nick?
I'm talking about. Let's go, baby.
Nick. Yes. Thank you for the call. About to overtake the Braves. How am I feeling? They swept away the Yankees in a non-competitive Subway Series. How am I feeling? I mean, come on. This is as good as it gets. Lindor playing like an MVP. At least for now, it's as good as it gets.
One thing about, you know, like sporting joy and euphoria, fleeting. Could be fleeting. Could be fleeting, meaning...
Let me enjoy it while I can, meaning, BT, will you?
Meaning here today and gone tomorrow.
I'm all too familiar with that, unfortunately. Which is why I'm going to soak in every second of this. Yankees are down, Mets are up, everything feels good. I'm waiting for the offseason where Cohen's going to go nuts and get Juan Soto. That's going to be great, but I'll enjoy that then. Now, we got a real season here.
As you should. It's so awesome, the timing, given the deadline, too. Like... And, you know, I'm not forecasting that the Mets stumble this weekend, but especially if they just continue to lay it on, even if you win 2 out of 3 over the weekend, I mean, man, oh, man, just think about that. Each day, little incremental, you know, a little more on the pile, a little more energy, a little more confidence, a little more belief, a little more conviction, a little more, you know, cockiness from the Met fan. Like, it's in front of you, as Aaron Boone would say. It's all in front of you, Sal.
If the Mets sweep the Braves, I am coming here Monday with my King outfit on in honor of King Cohen.
No.
Oh, what? I can't do that.
You're breaking the rules. Come on. No way. Come on.
The Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. The Braves are next. And then after the Braves, we're coming for the Phillies. Bring them all on, the Dodgers. I'm ready for it. Now go get some bullpen arms. Maybe a starter.
How is the schedule for the next month? Have you actually...
Yeah, it's actually not bad.
I
know they have some West Coast trips, but like the Mets don't play the Phillies. They play them in September. 2 series in September, 6 games. That's it.
I looked at it quick, and I feel as if I saw the Marlins. I know you guys have some games with the Marlins. The Rockies again, maybe? Is it out there?
Wouldn't it be fitting, BC? Just like nobody alive thought that the Red Sox would ever come back from being down 3-0 to the Yankees. And they did. And it took that to get over the hump and win the World Series and break the curse and go on to be world champions. Maybe the Mets could be down, I don't know, say 7 games with 17 to play against the Phillies and come back and pay them back for 2007.
That would be nice. And something went awry in 2008 too, right? Wasn't it similar?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I think it was both.
I mean, it always seems to go that way.
Here we go, Sal. So, yeah, you got to play the A's in Queens.
Yeah.
You got 3 in Colorado, as I thought. You've got 3 with the Marlins.
Win.
Yeah,
win.
I mean.
Win.
You got the White Sox.
Win.
You got to go to Chicago. Oh, my God. Whatever's left of all the parasites picking apart that roster, like a carcass. They'll have nobody at that point. The Reds may dismantle a little bit. The Senators. I mean, you got some wins in front of you, pal. Provided.
Don't get me even more pumped up, BT. I'm going to be out of control. Yes.
You don't stumble like you often do.
Well, you stopped stumble. You said they were going to get swept by the Yankees. I told you the Mets were about to take over this town. You know, I also texted the big guy before the Subway Series.
What Mando said.
No, Mike. I texted Mike before the Subway Series saying, Mets are about to take over the town.
Yeah.
And you just wrote back a ha-ha.
Yeah. Even he doesn't take you seriously.
And then Michael's on a rant ripping the Yankees to shreds because he knows it too. It's a Mets town again, BT. We're back. Yankees are dead. Mets killed them.
See,
Mets are going to be making the big moves.
You bring this on yourself.
Let me have fun.
I love the fun, and I really truly love the renewed focus and belief because it's with merit. But the things
the
that you
said. The best team in baseball since June 7th.
That's factually
true. Correct. I'm not making it up.
I'm not talking about that. Before you said the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. Everything of that before that.
And you watched
the preamble,
that game the other night, didn't you?
Yeah, they did. The preamble, the post stuff. That little soundbite right there can be called snip, snip, snip. It's a long season. Just say if the Yankees get Vladdy. Say if the Yankees get a stud. Bullpen, Mason Miller when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe
a
flame thrown ace. I know there's a lot of aces, but that is a soundbite like others you have made in the past that could come back to haunt you.
Only thing I've seen snipped around here has been the Yankees. All right, BT and Sal on the fail. Take more of your calls on this. I know that one's going to come back to bite me.
That was a good one, though. That was good. Right there, around here, it's been snipped as the Yankees. It does feel like we're walking around with not a whole lot of energy.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. What do you got for me, BT?
Well, this is what I'd like to hear once. Just to switch it up on tone here, right? Because as poorly as the Yankees have played,
yeah.
One of the things that's bothered us, and you know, I'm not alone, and we voice his frustration, is really Aaron Boone's, his presentation. It's all there right in front of us. We know the same regurgitated, canned expressions that drive us nuts.
He was a little angry the other night.
He was. It's about time. And maybe that's a foreshadow of a different approach for an extended amount of time. Hopefully it will be. Brian Snitker. All right, so last night involved your team, obviously. We saw it happen with Laureano. He was a mess all over the field.
What would they say that was? Was it a suicide squeeze? Or
He said that, I think it was maybe a mix-up in signs, whatever
okay,
it was.
Okay, yeah, obviously something was off.
But this is what Snitker says. He says, I don't know what that was. He was angry when he said this. I don't know what that was, quite honestly. You're going to have to ask him. That's unacceptable. Like, can you ever imagine Boone saying that?
No.
Me neither.
Boone would be like, oh, you know what? What about the other 35 times he ran the base as well? And, you know, I mean, he's always making excuses for the guys to a fault.
Well, that's my point. You know, we talk about how managers have less juice, and they do. Than they used to back in the day, whether it's now having to collaborate with front offices for lineups. I get that. All right, fine. But there are still some managers out there who, when you so egregiously mess up, they're going to be transparent.
Yeah, Mendy's one of them, too, for the Mets.
Yep.
I mean, he does that, so
yep,
Snitker can do that. Boone, like, it would be very easy. Boone, it's like Boone goes above and beyond to defend his guys when he doesn't have to. If you just say, hey, Gleyber had his head up his rear end for that play, like everybody would be like, yeah, thank you. We all see it. We all know it. You're not saying anything new.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm in saying that? Why, are you worried you're going to offend Gleyber for a second? Like, oh, you think Snitker cares about if he offends this guy? No, obviously not. Hey, you trying to play a ball game here? What are you doing? I mean, it's a sport. There's nothing personal. You're not going to jail because a manager yells at you?
I know.
I don't understand what the harm is. Like, why? You can't be held accountable?
I don't get it. There's certain times, like, I think where, like, say the NFL, where a coach can kind of hide behind the complexity of a scheme, and he can kind of talk around us or over us and not really to us and kind of lean on some football verbiage to kind of explain some things away without burying a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get, but with baseball, like when you so egregiously commit a blunder, whether it's base running or, you know, pimping a home run that hits the wall and getting thrown out at second, or just, you know, Gleyber mm-hmm. dropping that pop-up a couple of weeks back and a multitude of other things that infiltrate their game and his game, like you can't hide that. You can't obscure the fact that it was just gross and that, you know, 10-year-olds can make that play often. And you just got to come clean, come correct. We'll appreciate that.
You threw me
off. He creates a lot of his own problems, Boone.
You threw me off there because I thought you said you had something different. Like during the break, you're like, oh, I got something coming back here. I thought maybe you were going to bring up Stu Gotts.
Well, what is talk about Stu Gotts. We didn't get into it.
Oh, I don't know. I was just saying. You had a little thing with Stu Gotts this morning. When you said, oh, hey, I'll take it back here. I got something for you. I was like, all right. Now I'm thinking you're going to go a little, you know, like Stu Gotts, take it over the station type thing.
Let's not take it over anything.
Oh, okay.
You know,
you put him in his place this morning.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
I would say that.
Well, I mean, because you didn't the other day.
Oh,
you went
what do
in
mean
there
I
you basically kissing his ass.
I wasn't kissing his ass. They said flat out. Gio goes, well, what would happen if Stu Gotts became your boss? Like, I'm your boss. No, I'm your boss. What do you want me to tell you?
Somebody, now listen, I did jump in. Stu Gotts was here all week. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the. By the way, I guess some outlets took it. If you wanted to see the video, it's out there too. So I think Awful Announcing has it, whatever. Now, I don't know Stu Gotts and almost like. I don't know him. I've been on a show once or twice back in the day.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody in New York really knows him.
That's true. I mean, unless you watch the Lepetard show, which, by the way, has had a pretty good audience over the years.
Right.
No doubt, especially when ESPN was at its apex. Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt. So, listen, I told them, I said, I'm, and you know this about me, I think. Right. I'm not a radio beef guy.
Right.
I don't have enemies.
I tried to start a beef with you a couple years ago. You didn't bite.
Yeah, I mean, you were a step away from getting put through the wall. But nah, I don't get involved in that nonsense.
Green head coach, I was like, that's it. I'm going after him. I'm annoyed. I'm on the overnight.
Especially with teammates. Like, I'll always have my teammates back. I think I'm a good, friendly coworker. I think I'm trustworthy. I'm certainly dependable in terms of being here on time, doing my job. And I don't talk about people that I don't know, and I certainly don't start beefs with anybody, let alone people I don't know. And I don't hate or dislike anybody I don't know. But what had to happen today had to happen. You know, somebody from the station had to go into that studio where for 5 days this week, he's posturing for an on-air slot. Now, I'm not talking out of school. We flushed it out on the air. It's all good. And I do like Stu guys. I just know him a little bit differently now. You can't come into our house and on our turf and basically tell the biggest sports radio audience in the country that you want our jobs.
Right.
I couldn't let that go unchecked.
I told him there's one problem with that.
What?
You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Come in all you want. You're not taking my job. You're not good enough to be here.
Yeah.
I think that's what eats at him a little bit. But no beef with Stu Guts. What? Am I wrong? It's the truth. Hey, he's successful. He'll say, I have a bigger following than BT. And say, yeah, you do. I'll take it a step further. Stu Guts, you make a lot more money than I make. Good for you. I may never make the money you make. That's great. But guess what? I'm happy because I'm exactly where I want to be. You left. You were from New York. You wanted to be on The Fan. You went to Florida. I stayed here. I interned here. I worked my way up.
Fought.
I'm here.
Scraped.
Yeah. I don't care what the salary is or how popular. I didn't do it for that.
Clawed.
I did it because I love this place. I grew up listening to it. Mike and Chris and Summers and whatever. And this is exactly where I want to be.
Yeah.
And apparently it's exactly where he wants to be too.
Which is fine. And I even said to him, I said, I respect that passion because like Sal just said, I had the same, I used to fall asleep to the schmooze. Yeah. Anytime I was in the car when I first got my license. I didn't like listening to Imus. My dad listened to Imus.
Me neither.
I like politics now. I couldn't stand him as a kid.
I respect him as a host, but like,
he's a legend. It was boring. I don't want to hear it when I'm, 15 years old going to school, dropping me off sometimes if it was snowing to take 9,000 trains to go into the city. But I always put the station on. And I get that. And he's in a lot of ways, he's kind of like us, but that doesn't give you the latitude to come in here, and by his own admission, at the later stages, I don't want to do this a lot longer, later stages of his career, kind of waltz in here and start, basically put it out there. It's one thing if you do it behind closed doors. You want to tell Chris Olivero that, the architect, that's cool. You want to even share that with Ryan Hurley, that's fine. Who is the VPD, by the way.
Right, he's the one that got hired.
Yeah, you want to do that, that's fine. But when you start doing it on the air for other people to hear, I had enough, and I wanted to go in there and have a conversation, and I wasn't just defending me. I was defending everybody on the air here.
No,
I was stepping up for WFAN.
Yeah, I was just defending me when I was in there. You were a good team.
That's the difference between me and
you were a good team. All right, BT and Sal, The Fan will come back, get back to your calls on the other side, 888-808-1019 on The Fan.
The New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. What do you got for me, BT?
Well, this is what I'd like to hear once. Just to switch it up on tone here, right? Because as poorly as the Yankees have played, one of the things that's bothered us, and I'm not alone, and we voice this frustration, is really Aaron Boone's, his presentation. It's all there right in front of us. We know the same regurgitated, canned expressions that drive us nuts.
He was a little angry the other night.
He was. It's about time. And maybe that's a foreshadow of a different approach for an extended amount of time. Hopefully it will be. Brian Snitker. All right, so last night involved your team, obviously. We saw it happen with Laureano. He's a mess all over the field.
What'd they say that was? Was it a suicide squeeze? Or
He said that, I think it was maybe a mix-up in signs, whatever it was.
Okay, yeah, obviously something was off.
But this is what Snitker says. He says, I don't know what that was. He was angry when he said this. I don't know what that was, quite honestly. You're going to have to ask him. That's unacceptable. Like, can you ever imagine Boone saying that?
No.
Me neither.
Boone would be like, oh, you know what? What about the other 35 times he ran the base as well? He's always making excuses for the guys to a fault.
Well, that's my point. We talk about how managers have less juice, and they do, than they used to back in the day, whether it's now having to collaborate with front offices for lineups. I get that. All right, fine. But there are still some managers out there who, when you so egregiously mess up, they're going to be transparent.
Yeah, Mendy's one of them, too, for the Mets. Yep. I mean, he does that, so yep, Snicker can do that. Boone, like, it would be very easy. Boone, it's like Boone goes above and beyond to defend his guys when he doesn't have to. If you just say, hey, Gleyber had his head up his rear end for that play, like, everybody would be like, yeah, thank you. We all see it. We all know it. You're not saying anything new.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm in saying that? Why, are you worried you're going to offend Gleyber for a second? Like, oh, you think Snicker cares about if he offends this guy? No, obviously not. Hey, you trying to play a ball game here? What are you doing? I mean, it's a sport. There's nothing personal. You're not going to jail because a manager yells at you.
I know.
I don't understand what the harm is. Like, why you can't be held accountable?
I don't get it. There's certain times, like, I think where, like, say the NFL, where a coach can kind of hide behind the complexity of a scheme and he can kind of talk around us or over us and not really to us and kind of lean on some football verbiage to kind of explain some things away without burying a guy. Mm-hmm. Which I get. But with baseball, like when you so egregiously commit a blunder, whether it's base running or, you know, pimping a home run that hits the wall and getting thrown out at second, or just, you know, Gleyber dropping that pop up a couple of weeks back and a multitude of other things that infiltrate their game and his game, like you can't hide that. You can't obscure the fact that it was just gross and that, you know, 10-year-olds can make that play often. And you just got to come clean, come correct. We'll appreciate that.
You threw me off.
He creates a lot of his own problems, Boone.
You threw me off there because I thought you said you had something different. Like during the break, you're like, oh, I got something coming back here. I thought maybe you were going to bring up Stu Gotts.
Well, what is it? Talk about Stu Gotts when we get into it.
Oh, I don't know. I was just saying. You had a little thing with Stu Gotts this morning. When you said, oh, hey, I'll take it back here. I got something for you. I was like, all right. Now I'm thinking you're going to go a little, you know, like Stu Gotts, take it over the station type thing.
Let's not take it over anything.
Oh, okay.
You know,
you put him in his place this morning.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
I would say that.
Well, I mean, because you didn't the other day.
Oh,
you went in there
and
basically kissing his ass.
I wasn't kissing his ass. They said flat out. Gio goes, well, what would happen if Stu Gotts became your boss? Like, I'm your boss. No, I'm your boss. What do you want me to tell you?
Somebody, now listen, I did jump in. Stu Gotts was here all week. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the. By the way, I guess some outlets took it. If you wanted to see the video, it's out there too. So I think Awful Announcing has it, whatever. Now, I don't know Stu Gotts in almost like. I don't know him. I've been on a show once or twice back in the day.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody in New York really knows him.
That's true. I mean, unless you watch the Lepitor show, which, by the way, has had a pretty good audience over the years. Right. No doubt, especially when ESPN was at its apex. Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt. So, listen, I told them, I said, I'm, and you know this about me, I think. Right. I'm not a radio beef guy.
Right.
I don't have enemies.
I tried to start beef with you a couple years ago. I you didn't bite.
Yeah, I mean, you were a step away from getting put through the wall. But nah, I don't get involved in that
nonsense.
Great
head coach. I was like, that's it. I'm going after him. I'm annoyed. I'm on the overnight.
Especially with teammates. Like, I'll always have my teammates back. I think I'm a good, friendly coworker. I think I'm trustworthy. I'm certainly dependable in terms of being here on time, doing my job. And I don't talk about people that I don't know, and I certainly don't start beefs with anybody, let alone people I don't know. And I don't hate or dislike anybody I don't know. But what had to happen today had to happen. You know, somebody from the station had to go into that studio where for 5 days this week, he's posturing for an on-air slot. Now, I'm not talking out of school. We flushed it out on the air. It's all good. And I do like Stu Gotts. I just know him a little bit differently now. You can't come into our house and on our turf and basically tell the biggest sports radio audience in the country that you want our jobs.
Right.
I couldn't let that go unchecked.
I told him there's one problem with that.
What?
You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Come in all you want. You're not taking my job. You're not good enough to be here.
Yeah.
I think that's what eats at him a little bit. But no beef with Stu Gotts. Oh, I mean, why you just spent your... What? Am I wrong? It's the truth. Hey, he's successful. He'll say, I have a bigger following than BT. And say, yeah, you do. I'll take it a step further. Stu Gotts, you make a lot more money than I make. Good for you. I may never make the money you make. That's great. But guess what? I'm happy because I'm exactly where I want to be. You left. You were from New York. You wanted to be on the Fan. You went to Florida. I stayed here. I intern here. I worked my way up.
Fought.
I'm here.
Scraped.
Yeah. I don't care what the salary is or how popular. I didn't do it for that.
Clawed.
I did it because I love this place. I grew up listening to it. Mike and Chris and Summers and whatever. And this is exactly where I want to be.
Yeah.
And
apparently it's exactly where he wants to be too.
Which is fine. And I even said to him, I said, I respect that passion because like Sal just said, I had the same, I used to fall asleep to the schmooze. Yeah. Anytime I was in the car when I first got my license. I didn't like listening to Imus. My dad listened to Imus.
Me neither.
I like politics now. I couldn't stand him as a kid.
I respect him as a host, but like,
you
know,
he's a legend. It was boring. I don't want to hear it when I'm, you know, 15 years old going to school, dropping me off sometimes if it was snowing to take 9,000 trains to go into the city. But I always put the station on. And I get that. And he's in a lot of ways, he's kind of like us, but that doesn't give you the latitude to come in here, you know, and by his own admission, at the later stages, I don't want to do this a lot longer, later stages of his career, kind of waltz in here and start, you know, basically put it out there. It's one thing if you do it behind closed doors. You want to tell Chris Oliveiro that, the architect, that's cool. You know, you want to even share that with Ryan Hurley, that's fine. Who's who is the VPD, by the way.
Right, he's the one that got hired.
Yeah, you want to do that, that's fine. But when you start doing it on the air for other people to hear, I had enough, and I wanted to go in there and have a conversation, and I wasn't just defending me. I was defending everybody on the air here.
No, I was
stepping up for WFAN.
Yeah, I was just defending me when I was in there. You were a good team.
That's the difference between me and
you
Sal.
You were a good team. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, get back to your calls on the other side, 888-808-1019 on the Fan.